Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. It is May 21st, 2023, and we're pleased to be with you today. I say we because I know my co-host, Raven, is, in fact, she's in. I'm not taking her call. Let me get it. Hello there.
Hello there, Carl.
Are you there? Yeah, okay.
Yes, I am.
All right. Just introducing what's happening. We're going to do for the next 90 minutes a Bible study. And even though I title it with Carl, it's not my Bible study. It's our study. Because I'll tell you, moderating a Bible study, it's a strange thing. But when I taught years ago, and I mean a lot of years ago, I learned, I think, more quantity of things when I was trying to explain them to people than I did just studying without doing the, and I don't want to use the word teaching here, but moderating. So it is our Bible study. And I will give you a phone number if you want to call in on. It would be 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. I know that it is toll-free in continental United States. I'm not going to speak for Alaska or Hawaii. In continental United States, it's toll-free. If it's even, whether it's a landline you're calling on or a cell phone, makes no difference. And I always sort of, with tongue-in-cheek, apologize for the next statement I'm going to make. And it's just pathetic that I've got to make this, but it's happened. It hasn't happened in a while, but I know that the demon still works. If anybody comes on with anything and they say any words that are inappropriate, and I don't think we need any explanation other than that, I will cut you off. I will write your phone number down, which I've still got record of the ones who've done it to me, and you will not, you'll have to go to another cell phone or, you know, play the game, because I will not take that call anymore. And it's sad on a Bible study, you got to give that kind of a warning, but what did Chuck Berry song, say la vie, that's life. All right, as long as we're doing, in fact, you know what, I'm going to quote, I hate to say this, but I'm going to quote and it doesn't fit what we're doing. But in auto racing, there was a race car driver named Dale Earnhardt. People loved him, people hated him.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody mentioned to him, and I don't know if this analogy is going to make sense, but this is the way I feel about the demons that attack our program and us. He made a comment to a young driver who is just in his late teens by the name of Jeff Gordon once. When Gordon says, before the race, you know, they go around and the spectators around the track, and Jeff Gordon noticed how they booed this guy. And he said, doesn't that bother you? And he said, Earnhardt said, no. He said, what bothers me if they say nothing? And I'm going to put that in this vein, and that's just because I'm sports-minded. I think of analogies. Let me get the word out of metaphors in the terms of sports. But if we weren't having an effect and causing some pain to the spiritual powers of darkness, then I would say it may be that we're having no effect on them. And I guess if we got to put up with the nonsense from mental midgets who persist in profanities over a radio program about the scripture, at least that's showing that it's possible that we have some effect here going on. So that's
right,
all bad when you get criticized. It really isn't. It's like
right.
you were telling me
no, it's true.
10 minutes ago of being attacked. You're being attacked because you're quoting Bible truth.
Right.
Now, you can also be attacked by the Holy Spirit conviction if you're speaking untruth. So don't take that out of, we don't want to take that out of context either.
Right.
So why don't you, Raven, go ahead and pray. And just for people, we're going to start on John chapter 16, verse 1, continuing with the Holy Spirit's ministry.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just praise your name today. We are so thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy, for the salvation which you give to us through Christ. We just don't come to you enough, just in thankfulness, rather than pleading for your blessing, pleading for something for self. And we just want to be so thankful today, Lord, for everything that you do for us. All we ask today is that we could be a vessel for you and your Holy Spirit, that you could speak through us to give biblical truth to everyone that comes to hear it, so that nothing that is said today is from the flesh, but all from your Holy Spirit, so that everything that is heard by every single person that comes to listen is something that they can therefore take out with them and use to give truth to others as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right. We're going to go to John 16:1, and we're continuing with the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing that, and this is truly amazing, and I was thinking of these things this morning, the Holy Spirit, Raven, as a background to where we are, if anybody's listening for the first time, read John 14:26 and 15:26, and then we're going to continue with that. But the Holy Spirit, once you receive this Holy Spirit, there's a verse in here that says, that he is with you and he will be in you. And that is the Holy Spirit. He will be in you forever. The Holy Spirit is going to stay with us, folks, for all time, forever and ever and all eternity. And the Holy Spirit, after you pray for this prayer for him to guide both of us and the people listening to get spiritual meaning out of it, I would like you to not, Raven, I'd like you not to go into the topic, but mention the name of the topic that you talked to me about a week ago or so on Friday we started, and something that I have never, and this is what the Holy Spirit's done with you, and then I'm going to just mention something that hit me today from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit that we're praying to, that she's going to pray to, it's not just a formality. You know, like when good Christians like Raven and I go into a restaurant, we take 20 minutes apiece to pray so everybody notices. No, it's not that. This praying
right.
to the Holy Spirit is a very serious private thing, and it should be public among born-again believers when they're ever together, because without his orchestration, if I can use that word, we're leaving it to human intelligence and human wisdom, and that can't accomplish God's purpose. So go ahead and pray. And then just as an example of something you, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, you, like I, knew was a topic, but until 2 weeks ago, maybe you never even, and he revealed everything to you in one fell swoop. Go ahead. Say your prayer first, and then just show the people as an example about demon activity, which you, in a very short period of time, he revealed it to you.
Yeah, we just did prayer, though. We just had prayer.
We did not.
We just, I just did it. Okay, I thought
nothing.
I just did. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I just did that.
I'm not saying you didn't. Okay.
Yeah. I can again though if it didn't come through. Maybe it didn't go through.
Well, here I'm telling you, I didn't hear it.
Okay. Maybe it didn't go through my headphones or something.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Father, we are so thankful today for your grace, your mercy, your love, and that you give us the ability through your Holy Spirit to actually give your word out to everyone who listens, and that the Holy Spirit can actually speak your word to us and give us true teaching, true knowledge of your word, so that it is not of any of our own interpretation, but it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us. And Father, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't for his teaching, for his counsel, then we would be still completely without knowledge of your word. Because there are so many people who say, we can't understand. It is only with the Holy Spirit that we can have this understanding. So, Father, give us this understanding now as we teach, so that we can give the same understanding out to others as well. In Christ's name, amen.
Now, before we go any further, Raven, I stand on what I said, but I'm going to tell you something. Just hold on, and folks. I always have people say, oh, I forget things too. I am honestly... And I'm under the direct supervision right now of a neurologist. And tomorrow I'm going to a neurological surgeon. I am losing things, and it's not just forgetting things. That happens when you get older. There's something going on with me. So you may have said the prayer. I frequently am talking to people, my wife usually, and I'll forget right in the middle of the sentence what I'm trying to say. So the fact
it never hurts to pray twice.
Because
it doesn't hurt to pray again, okay.
It doesn't hurt, but I'm telling you, I think you're right, even though I don't remember hearing it, because you just did it. Your memory isn't that bad. All right, go into this topic again, and this is the Holy Spirit, but it was in his time he gave it to you, and he didn't give it to you piece by piece. He gave it to you the whole enchilada in one basic time, and there was a reason for it, because it was a family member, and we don't even – that's up to you if you go into it or not, but just show how the Holy Spirit – we're not just saying – oh, Lord God, who lives there in heaven, bless this food we eat, nourish our body. No, it's not a prayer like this, folks. We're praying for the Holy Spirit, not the flowery stuff and the stuff that make all the people in the restaurant look at you as if you're so profound. And I'm not making fun of praying before meals. But this is something that we experience, and I'll tell you, it's sort of shocking. Because I don't think we understand, even as Bible believers, the power we're dealing with. Go ahead.
Right. Well, let me preface this all by saying Carl and I'm sure that you'll agree. If you disagree, you'll certainly say so, but I don't think you'll disagree with this. I don't think we would call ourselves necessarily charismatic. But because that would put us all the way over in one particular area, but we definitely believe in spiritual gifts because they're biblical. At the same time, we don't believe
in the way that many of the
churches do them. We believe in the Bible.
Would you agree with what I just said?
Yes.
Yeah, but
in other words, we're not folks,
because many people are cessationists or partly cessationists on some gifts, and many people demand that you have gifts that the Bible says it's up to the Holy Spirit, not us or our church. So we believe in the gifts, but biblically.
Exactly. That's perfect. And that's what I was just going to say. We're not cessationists. We're not even part cessationists. We believe that everything needs to be done biblically according to what God says, not according to man, not according to denominations.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Exactly. So, right. So, I have a family member. I'm not going to say who it is, but I have a family member who I love very deeply. Okay, and I'm just going to go that far. And recently, I'm not going to go into big detail, but recently it has become right. Recently, because of some situations, it has become obvious that there. Both Carl and I would say that anyone, in fact, someone else mentioned this to me at one time, but another family member also mentioned this as a possibility, and I just kind of went, I don't know. But now, yes, I would say this is definite. And I had a concern about this, Carl. I never mentioned this before, but it was I wondered about this to me as well at one time, and I thought, maybe I'm just being dramatic. But I definitely believe this person is.
With a topic we're going to talk about, I can see where that would be a natural thought.
Right, yes. And I believe that this person is demon-possessed. This is not something I've ever thought about anyone in my entire life. So I don't want you to think, oh boy, she's really off the rails. And, you know, it's not like I go around thinking that everyone in the world must be demon possessed if they just have anger issues or if they just seem a little out there or whatever, because I don't. I've never thought this about anyone before, which doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that are. Okay. I've just never come to the point where I've just gone, this is the only answer to this issue, that this person just, there's just no other answer. And Carl and I actually had a conversation about this person. And we decided that the best thing would be for me to go pray. Now, this person would not allow me to pray for him. He is so adamant about not wanting to hear about God that he will not even allow himself to hear Christian music. He says that it bothers him deep inside. That I don't think I even told you this, Carl. I may have. But
I hadn't heard this.
Yeah. Okay. He can't even stand to hear it. He got angry with just the thought of having to hear Christian music. Got very angry with me. And
significant. That is significant.
Yes, exactly. And so I was going to go over that night, and I decided I was going to go over and be just outside his home. So he wouldn't even be aware of it. I was just going to go outside his home, right where his window was, and pray for him and try to cast out these demons out of this person, okay, out of this man. And so I started praying. And I was at home at the time. I just started praying and talking to God about this just for a moment. And God said, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And gave me this verse. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Now, obviously, we know, I'm just going to say this because I always do. We know that this means no man, no woman, whatever. Okay? So, and I went, wow. That's an interesting verse to give me. So I looked the verse up. I looked that verse up immediately because, you know, when God gives you a verse, you go to it. You know, there's a reason he's giving you that verse. So I went to that verse and I looked it up, and God said, you need to know what you're doing before you mess around with this kind of stuff. You know, you need to know about spiritual warfare, about casting out demons. And I started then, I said, okay, Lord, I said, you show me. See, I said, you show me. And he began giving me immediately all kinds of verses. I mean, I have, now this is a spiral notebook, okay, and I don't write tiny, okay, but I have two and a half pages so far of, three full pages of notes. And this is, I can't even tell you how many verses this is. It's a lot. And, he convinced me that absolutely, and I'm not going to say all, because that would mean that I knew how every single person who's casting out demons is doing it. But I'm going to say that most deliverance ministries right now that I have seen are not doing it correctly. Now, they may not realize it, but what I'm saying is if they prayed about it and really did all of what God showed me, that they would be aware of it, that they would be aware that it's not being done properly. And I'm just going to say that there are a couple things that God showed me that made me realize why. And there's just two verses specifically that made me go, okay, this just is so obvious. Because if I had gone over and prayed and had been successful, if I had been successful in casting out those demons, I could have destroyed this person, because
and you
according and myself, yes, and myself, because in Matthew 12:43-45 it says, when that unclean spirit or demon leaves, it says it passes through waterless places. That means dry places. So in other words, it goes out and it goes to all the places where there's nothing for it to inhabit, seeking rest, and then it returns to where it was cast from, and then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So I could have destroyed him. I could have destroyed him.
And yourself.
That person... and myself, yes, because there's other two that says we must resist
the point. The point I want to emphasize here, and you're doing it, is that even though, I mean, this happened 2 weeks, within the last 2 weeks, and we're not newcomers in Christianity. Neither one of us. The Holy Spirit is continuously feeding you of stuff you need to know. And that's what this study today is going to be about in John 16, is the Holy Spirit. But your story exemplified to me exactly the Holy Spirit is always at work in us, even if we don't see it.
Yes. And the important thing is, we, like you were just saying, listen, you think that you know everything there is to know, but God is always teaching us something new. And before we go thinking that we have it all down pat, we know this, we know that, we have the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Carl, what you just said, that person that I had talked to you about that said, you know, oh, they know all things.
Yep.
They, you know
yep.
what I mean? They know they see things, right? This
yep.
is what I was told too. Someone else told me today, oh, well, you know, the Holy Spirit tells, or they didn't actually say the Holy Spirit. They said they are told things, and therefore they don't need to go check out scripture because God, you know, this person doesn't even use the word God. They didn't use the word God. They didn't use the word Holy Spirit. They just said that they know that they are being told what they need to know without having
without
to go.
Without the Bible.
Yes, without having to go to the Bible.
Okay, right there, Raven.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't born again and I was a wannabe Christian, like Matthew 7:21-23, right there,
yeah,
that's obviously against all Scripture. The Holy Spirit is
yeah
a teacher. And okay,
yeah,
now having just said that, I want you to read John 14:26, 15:26. And 16:13, and this is what our teaching is going to be on until we till we die.
But the
and
helper,
this is what the reason I had you tell your private story is because here, you and I are not teenagers, and neither chronologically or in the Christian faith, and the Holy Spirit is still showing us things that I've never conceived of.
Amen. Yes.
Okay.
We always need his help. Like you said, he will always be our
helper.
Not just when we're babies.
And Raven.
Not just when we're babies in
Raven,
Christ. Always.
When you're, you know what, I'd like to also, if you could pull that message up you gave me, that you fear that we do not really understand the power. Because this is the point we got to make. There is this latent or potential energy in us that we, by the Laodicean church today, and I say that flat out, and Pastor Rands this morning, Raven, was like we're either copying his words or he's copying ours, but he's saying the churches today are giving people gospels that they want to hear. They want to make them comfortable, and boy, he was on a rampage. But
yeah,
this is where, and that you made another statement. This program, folks, is not about Raven's messages all week long. But you made another statement that I'd like you to read, that one thing that I told you everybody ought to hear. It was maybe three or four sentences that we don't understand, and the churches are not leading us to understand this tremendous power that we have within us.
Thanks.
No, it's not power. It's
about
not our power. It's not our power.
Yeah.
It's allowing his
yeah
power to work. But go ahead. Go ahead and tie it in with John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13.
I think this is what you mean. Many people claim there is no power, but that's like saying God has no power. Is that what you mean? Or the
that's
next
right
message I sent you right after it. Is that what you mean?
Well, go ahead and read them both because they're both applicable.
Okay. I have the same question for them. Why even read Scripture? Why believe in God? Why say they're born again? They don't really believe in the God of the Bible. I get if they're struggling.
Amen.
Trying to get there, wanting that full faith. Mark 9:23-24, I believe, help my unbelief. I get that. But when we straight up say he no longer has power or that Scripture isn't real that says we have power through him, that's just heresy. That's
and
just
when
heresy
we say, hold on a minute, when we say we don't have to check the Bible on what we're telling other people or what we're coming up with as truth, that is totally contrary to everything the Bible says. My point is
yes
the Laodicean church today, and I told you, I told everybody, the pastors that I've heard say this year, Greg Laurie, Dr. Jack Graham, and I'll mention the one I heard just most recently, even though there's eight of them. And it was Dr. David Jeremiah. And then this morning, the pastor of the church I went to said the same thing. The churches today are not, they're being run by a spirit. Like this individual you're talking about, she's being guided by a spirit. But when you say
yeah
that you're not confirming things with the Bible. You're saying you're not confirming things with the one who inspired every word in the Bible, the Holy Spirit. And that is, she's
yeah
right. There's a spirit, but it's not the Holy
right
Spirit. And it's a rhetorical
exactly
question what it is. So you keep going
yeah
with those notes you sent me, those two.
No, that was the end of it. That was the end of it, yeah.
Well, no,
as far
because
as I,
one of the...
No, there was something else?
One of them was... yeah, there was one that had like two sentences before, and I told you your last sentence, if...
Okay, hold on. Let me get it.
Look at my comment that the above statement should be read in every church or something.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Now read the one above it.
Especially your last sentence, if the church.
This is not.
Oh, here it is.
This is not. This is not. Hold on, folks.
I got it.
This is not to throw flowers or praise to Raven. That's not my point. The point is that I've heard Dr. David Jeremiah and Greg Laurie in the last couple of months say the same thing. Today, the pastor of the church I went to said exactly the same thing. Go ahead.
Okay, yep, I have it. This was in response to a message that I sent you that said deliverance ministries are unbiblical. And I said, well, they're taking the whole thing out
yes.
of context. Deliverance from possession should be unbiblical for belief. Deliverance for possession should be for unbelievers. That said, we should still pray for believers who are oppressed as well.
And there's a difference. Possession and oppression
yes.
are different.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. I went to Flint and I was having trouble with something, and two women prayed for me. It's something that I was struggling with for about 4 months. I don't know what I expected, but it's been gone since that day. It helps to have people pray for us. Oppression, possession,
yes.
healing, spiritual gifts, all
yes.
these things, we should be praying for each other. But we are ignoring real prayer, real faith, the Holy Spirit, the real power of God in our churches. If the church could get even a glimpse of what God can do through us, if we only had even a glimmer of faith, we would be on our knees and in Scripture every moment of the day. We should be repenting of our unbelief. That's the one that you said yeah. That
That's
we should.
Right. No, that was it. Now, with
yeah.
that, I want you to read 14 and 15, 26 of John.
Okay.
14:26, 15:26.
Right. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will teach us all
okay.
things.
Yep.
Okay. And then, and actually, that was my first prayer, that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things today, that he would be the teacher. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Amen.
No,
yeah.
16:13.
All right. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will tell you things to come. Yeah.
14 and 15.
He will glorify
14.
Me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All
you
things
see how that,
that the Father has.
Hold on. Do you see how that knowledge that you got about this topic of this family member, all you're doing is giving God the glory ever since that happened in every conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it is. It's all him. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Yes.
That is a statement that I can't even put my hands around or my mind or my arms. All things of Father are mine, and he will take of mine and show it to you. That means that we've got access to every bit of knowledge there is in the universe.
Yeah.
That we need spiritually, folks. This does
yeah.
not mean you're going to adjust Einstein's theory of relativity.
Right.
And make $1 million or $2 million or $5 million off it.
Right.
Or that you're going to know the winning lottery number in every state. That's stupidity.
Yeah.
So this is where we've been in John 14, 15. Now today we're going to start 16. There's no way we're going to finish. And that's what we're doing until we get to John 16, 33. Now, the other thing I want to mention about John 14, 15, and 16. Hold on. I'm going to do a little arithmetic. There's 31 and 27 or 58. And there are, in all the chapters, the three chapters, 58 and 33 is 91. 91 verses. And I am going to tell you, out of 91 verses, 1, 2, 2 verses in John 16, 17 and 18 that are not in red. There's 4. Out of the 91 verses, there's only 4 verses that are not written in red, which means the words of Jesus Christ. That should get our attention on what we're reading and what we're doing. And with that, if you have no other comments, you can go ahead and start with John 16:1 and read the first 5 verses. But if you want to add something to what your story has been, go ahead. That's up to you.
No, this is fine. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Boy, that's a whole, that's a lot right there, isn't it?
Well, let's read it, then we'll come back to it. I want you to, mine says offended.
Okay. That you will put out of the, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Wow.
That's
and
happening,
these
folks.
Things,
the religion, hold on, that happened in Roman Catholicism with the Inquisition and the Crusades, and it's happening today in the Islamic faith and the Muslim faith. They think they are doing God a service. And I'm not going to be bashful. I'm not criticizing Catholicism. Until I was 43, I was a strict Roman Catholic. I'm not criticizing Islam. I'm just saying there are people in this world today that think that they're doing their religious God a favor by killing another person. If people deny that, then you just don't want to, you don't want to hear what the Bible says. Go ahead.
But these things, these things they will do
You're
to
right.
you because they have not known the Father nor me.
I want you to think of this, Mary. We're going to get to this one because I want every Roman Catholic or a person who like me was a Catholic and anybody who's part of a religion that is not based on faith in Christ alone, not works, but faith in Christ alone. You need to consider what Bria is saying, because that is a very, that's one of the most serious verses in the Bible. Go ahead with 4.
Things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going?
Okay, now I want you to read Matthew 24:25. And this is after he gives a big diatribe about persecution and tribulation we're going to go through.
Matthew, what again?
24:25. And it follows it follows many verses, about 15 verses on the tribulation all Christians are going to go through.
See, I have told you beforehand.
Now, that goes very well, what you just read. You read here, these things I've told you in verse 4, that when time comes, you may remember and that I had told you these things, okay? Now, that's what I key up to verse 1. Verse 1, I'm going to put verse 4 and Matthew 24:25, because, folks, when you preach this in certain denominational churches that say that we're not going to go through the tribulation. Blessed be God. We're going to be on the clouds of glory. Read Matthew 24, folks. You can't make that conclusion. Tribulation and wrath are different. And I look at this verse 1, these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be offended. Because when we are offended, we are even killed for our faith, which is here in the world today, but it's coming to the United States rapidly. You've got to realize that God said, Jesus Christ said, these things are going to happen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25, and this is chapter 16 of John, verse 1 and verse 4. You've got to realize or you're going to panic. If you're part of the persuasion, and Raven and I heard it for years in the church we both attended, that this stuff, you're going to be raptured before any tribulation. You're going to be gone before the Antichrist comes, which according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 is false, fake news. We're going to be here when the man of sin is revealed. You better, folks, forget your denominational prejudices. Forget the man that you have elevated as a king, like 1 Samuel 8:6, when they told Samuel, we no longer want God ruling over us. We want a king, a man. What is the TV evangelist or the pastor that you're ignoring what the Bible says? When I brought this up to a certain Pentecostal pastor, and I think the world of this man, he's one of the best preachers and teachers I've ever heard of, two of them, even though they're probably 1,100 miles apart, never met each other. And one of them actually made the comment, if you want to be dumb enough to believe that you're going to be here when the tribulation comes, go ahead and do it. Folks, if you want to put your faith in this, but you are violating what Raven read in John and Matthew 24:25, and in John 16:1, I've told you these things so you will not be offended. Because when we see this happening, folks, and they are stringing you up or I up and your children, there's no time to go back and study the Bible then. There's no time to say, oh, maybe this TV evangelist or my favorite preacher or the man that I worship, or maybe I've made a little God out of him. And it may even be yourself. Get away from that and get to the scripture, period.
Yep.
All right. Do you have any other thoughts on 16:1?
You know, it's interesting. You said you might not have time. You might not. They may come to your home.
You won't?
You know, as I mentioned, Wednesday, they may come to your home. They may put a gun in your face, and you may have half a second to decide. What are you going to do?
The best example of that was the one I read of a father talking about his 14-year-old daughter in Columbine, Colorado. The classmates told him that they said to the whole class, whoever is a Christian, stand up. And his daughter stood up, and they said, you've got two choices. You reject Christ right now or we're going to blow your head off. She said, I will not reject Christ. And they murdered her right then. You got to remember that. Columbine, Colorado.
Yeah. What would you do? Would you reject Christ or would you admit to Christ in that moment?
If my faith is what a man says, the chances are you're going to reject him.
That's right.
This is why Jesus is saying these things, so you would not be offended. Now, what did yours say? Yours also applied, your statement, that we should not be what?
That we should not be made to stumble, which is the same.
There you go.
You know, I mean, yeah. So,
same thing.
So you're not going to fall. Right. So you're not going to fall.
Meaning that if you don't take this seriously, folks, or you blow it off because your pastor said these things can't happen, you are going to be made to stumble. And at that time, there may be no churches to go to anymore. Folks, if you don't think this is happening around the world, you're living under a rock. And if you don't think this is right at the door of the United States, you're living under two rocks.
Oh, absolutely.
The churches.
Yeah.
The churches are taking part in false doctrine. And when a doctor,
yeah.
David Jeremiah, when he comes up and states this publicly on the radio, and it was like March 16th, I don't know, I have it in my notes, of 2023 when he said it on his program on CSN that I heard in the Midwest. I'm thinking, I wish I had this recorded. When Dr. David Jeremiah, when I say it, it's one thing. When I tell you a pastor said it in church today, that's equally so what. But when you have a man like Jeremiah who is very well thought of, and he's not a nut, as many of them are. I won't say many, but unfortunately too many. He's not one who is adjusting the scripture, as he said, to make you comfortable in your sin, but giving you scripture so that it changes you. And when he says that the churches are letting the people down, they're not giving them biblical truth anymore, we've got something to be concerned about.
Right.
Now look at verse 2.
They will put you out of the synagogue. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, they're not talking about the government. They're talking about the churches putting you out. Yes,
amen.
The time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. It's the churches.
We've got that. We've got that in the Middle East now, folks. If you want to say no, or that Carl is not a loving person, say whatever you want. But it's going on.
Goodness, it's going on here, Carl. It's going on in the States.
But look at
the church.
It's going to go on. But we're only getting the. You know, Raven, I lived in New York City for the first 23 years of my life. 23 years, and I lived through hurricanes, and I was not that far from the ocean, the beach, and I also was down on nice days when the tide would start coming in. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go through hurricanes, but right now, we see the tide picking up. It's coming in. This stuff is happening.
Well,
it is happening.
Look what's happened. Look what's happened with the denomination. Look, either you marry homosexuals, either you allow homosexuals as pastors in your church, or you can't be a part of our denomination. We'll get rid of you.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this
you
is denomination.
It's public knowledge.
Yeah.
It's the Methodist mainline method, and we have there's something like 200 churches just this year that have broken away from that denomination.
Right. It's do what we tell you to do or get out. Get out. They're putting them out already. They're saying, no, you can't be part of our denomination unless you're willing to toe the line.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other denominations doing the same thing. It is already in the United States.
And
they believe they're doing God's work. And they believe they're doing God's service.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you made a comment, and I want to elaborate on it. The church is going to do it to us. Now, the church, just like in every other civilization, and I'll use the Antichrist, the Jews are the ones who gave Christ the death sentence. They use the government to do it. The church is going to be the ones crying for your neck on your head on a silver platter. The Antichrist is going to be the one that's going to empower the false church to do this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the false church is going to be, folks, the Church of Laodicea in the good old U.S. of A. right now.
Right. Yeah. It's just going to get worse and worse.
This stuff is already, the hurricanes are coming, but I'm telling you, sitting on the beach in New York City this morning, and I'm making a metaphor, The tide is coming in faster and faster. Get ready. Get your life preserver or whatever you need. And your only life preserver is the Word of God. And the Word, the Holy Spirit, inspired every word. Now, people say, oh, I only read the What's in Red. That's ridiculous. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3, 15, 14, 15, 16. 16 says, God, the Holy Spirit, inspired every word. 2 Peter 2, or 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 say the Holy Spirit inspired every word. So don't just read the words in red like some fools do. I don't know. I don't even know why you'd want not read the rest of the Bible. When Jesus says these statements, that he will teach you all things I've said, why would you not want to listen to them? Again, this is demonic activity within the church.
Amen.
Now, Matthew 24, Raven, is exactly what verse 2 is talking about in John 16.
Yeah. They will put you out of the synagogue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Matthew 24. We're talking about the same. We're talking about the same thing in like verse 9, 10, and 11 in Matthew 24.
Right. Yep, you got it. It's happening.
They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then they will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Yes, yes. Same thing. Yeah.
And we've got whoever, the time will come, which has already come. Whoever kills you will think they're doing God a service. And I've talked to Middle Easterners that actually say they do. They think these mercy killings are doing God a service. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it only one religion? No. There's not a Catholic sin. There's not a Protestant sin. There's not a Muslim or Islamic sin. It's all unbelief in the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, verse 3, look at the ramifications of this. I even have relatives who said, oh, I don't buy into Christianity, but I pray to God. No, you don't. Pray to the tree that we hug every. Read that one.
Right. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. Yeah.
John, the Gospel of John, Jesus says that at least two times that I can think of, maybe more, that you do not have the Father or the Son if you reject the Son.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't mean you believe in him intellectually. That means you believe in him with all your heart, which goes way beyond the intellectual understanding. I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you really believe, folks? Hey, I got to take a call. Bear with me. Hold on.
All right.
Hold on. Hello there. Thank you for calling. Can I help you? You want to make a comment?
How you doing, folks?
We're doing well. I believe we are. We're hoping we are.
Well, you had someone on the other day. I don't know who the gentleman was, but I made a comment in the chat room that the gentleman took the wrong way and never gave me the opportunity to clarify. I tried to call in. I consider myself a pretty level-headed guy.
Wait a minute, sir. Sir, hold on. I'm hearing nothing you're saying because there's music playing very loud in the back. Okay, good.
Can you hear me now?
There it goes again. No, it's going, still going. Now I stop.
Okay,
but
all right.
Everything you said about what was said.
I'm sorry about that.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I tried to. What happened was I didn't realize I had my headphones on. I didn't realize that somebody was trying to call me on my phone while I'm talking to you, and I didn't hear it because I had my headphones on.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, so last night I made a comment in the chat room, and the person took offense to it. And I wasn't trying to be insulting or offensive, but basically the gist of it was I actually agree with the overwhelming majority of what you folks are saying, we're in scary times. I mean, and if you're looking out the window, looking at what's happening in the world today, and you're not scared, you're just not paying attention.
Amen.
I think we can't use yesterday's solutions to today's problems either.
We're not advocating that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the person I was talking to, the person I was listening to last night seemed to kind of be doing that. And I was kind of trying to clarify.
Hold on. This has nothing to do with last night. I don't
even
know who you're talking about.
Okay. That's a fair point. So, I just wanted to.
What did they say?
Well,
what did they say? I'm curious.
Basically, they were talking about that the way that things are moving in the world, that, governments are going to be turning against their people, the governments are going to be turning against the churches are going to be turning against each other. And if you can't see that happening, you're not, like I said, you're not paying attention. It's obviously moving in that direction.
Keep going. You're right. I agree with you 100%.
Right. But the other thing is, the idea, and I've heard a lot of people say this, kind of I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly how it was being said, but it's kind of the idea that it's kind of the idea that we're going to mobilize and there's going to be a time we're going to have to uprise and mobilize like the Minutemen and fight this enemy. And I'm like, okay, that the minute this ain't 1776, and
you're right.
They have technologies now that they didn't have then, and it's going to be very hard to run and hide, like it was then. And the people who are who are on our side, the good guys that are on our side, are the ones that are going to be able to apprehend the technology. Because it's really the technology that's going to be the insidious weapon that's used against us. The technology is what is going to cut off our access to our own money, our access to our own electricity and our heating and our ability to travel and get food and whatever. It's the technology. I mean, this move towards electric cars, folks. I mean, it's just the craziest thing. Anybody that knows anything about how electricity is produced that thinks the electric cars are reducing our carbon footprint, they're just delusional because it still takes.
Hold on a minute. You're talking to a person for 55 years. I worked in the electromechanical service business.
There you go.
What amazes me is we can't even have a hot, humid day, even in the Northeast. Where I used to live, or now in the Upper Great Lakes, where we don't have brownouts because of air conditioning load.
Mm-hmm.
How in the name of anybody are we going to be able to charge cars?
Yeah,
right.
And I'm just speaking from my experience. And then you ask people, where does electricity come from? It comes from burning fossil fuel. You keep going because there's not a word you said so far I disagree with.
Well, I mean, even the term fossil fuel is a lie. It doesn't come from fossils. It doesn't take millions of years for oil to be produced underground.
You're right. You're right. Yep. Nope. I'm using what I always hear. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't explain
to people that in the business world. You got to be. But no, you're right. It's not fossil fuel. You're right.
We're living in an age, there were wise men that lived maybe 150, 200 years ago that said we were moving towards an age where people would become so insane that the rational people would look like the crazy ones.
You're right.
What we say is so completely out of step with everything else that's going on. I mean, I want you to just imagine something, and it sounds like, just by listening to it, it sounds like you're about my age group. So
I hope you're not 80. I hope you're not 80.
Well,
you're, You're hurting. Go ahead.
I'm pushing 60. So okay. So we're not that far off.
You got 20 more. Trust me, I'm 80, and I need a new body now, not when the rapture comes.
What's your name, sir?
Carl.
Carl, my name is John. Glad to meet you.
John. Okay.
You're closer.
And
you're
Raven
closer to my age, John.
Okay. And what's
right.
your name?
Yep. I'm Raven.
Raven. Okay.
Good to meet you.
Okay. Carl and Raven, I want to give you an imaginary scenario. Okay?
Go ahead. Because it may not be so imaginary.
I want you to imagine.
You may be giving us a metaphorical scenario. Go ahead.
Right. I want you to imagine that I invented a time machine. Okay?
All right.
I invent a time machine, and I'm going to visit Carl and Raven. But not 2023 Carl and Raven. I'm going to go back and visit 1983 Carl and Raven.
All right.
Oh,
and I'm going to be, okay, my name is John. Glad to meet you. I'm from 2023. Let me just explain to you what's going down now. And I break down to you.
John, I couldn't even though I spent my whole life in the engineering field, I couldn't even imagine back in 83. What we're doing now.
You would look at me
right.
like I had three heads if I told you that we would not even be able to. Okay, here's the deal. We're not going to be able to figure out what bathroom people go into.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We can't.
Okay.
Very appropriate.
I mean, it's absolutely insane. You can't go into a place of work without being badged four times, go through this metal detector, this badge detector, touch your hand here, scan your iris there.
Yep.
Okay. And yet, an 18-year-old kid can walk into a school and kill a bunch of 9 and 10-year-olds and not be confronted by anybody.
Yeah.
We're upside down. Yep.
I mean, it is absolutely insane the world that we live in. And then you have people that I'm a man, but I think I'm a woman. I'm a woman, but I think I'm a man. I'm a boy, but I think I'm a unicorn. I mean, I don't know. Where does it stop?
Right.
No, we're there. Yeah. That's not coming. We're in the thick of it right now.
And then what happens is we're in a climate, sir, where you can lose your job by refusing to recognize them in their delusion.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yes.
There used to be a time when we called that mental illness. Now.
Yes.
Now our network is called the Four Persons. And
I see what you've got. I'm curious. What does that represent?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you where that came from. About 20 years ago, we had to put a family member in prison for some horrendously awful stuff.
Okay,
so think of the worst stuff you can think of, and that's what it was. And I won't go any farther than that.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. And my oldest daughter was 19 at the time. She had just turned 19, which means under the law, she's legal. Okay?
Yep.
Right.
And we were deciding whether we were going to accept the prosecutor's offer or go to trial and try and put this piece of filth away for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And we decided we were going to try to put him in prison for the rest of his life until once we made that decision and the reality hit my daughter that she was going to have to testify, she started becoming completely unglued.
I understand.
Yeah, that's when I went to the counselor and the prosecutor and said, what do I do? I cannot put her on the stand. I cannot do this, okay? And they said, and they both looked at me, and the prosecutor looked at me and said, she's 19 years old, John. There's nothing you can do. She's legal. It's her decision. And then that's when I met with the counselor, who was a devout Christian woman, okay, a devout Christian counselor. And that's the problem today. There's a lot of counselors out there that aren't Christian counselors, okay?
Amen.
Okay? So you're going to see where I'm going with this, okay?
Yes, sir.
This counselor said, this counselor looked me straight in the eye and she said, John, you have to stop this. Whatever you do, you have to stop this. You cannot put that girl on the stand. Period. Full stop. John, are you listening to me? This is exactly how she was talking to me. Like a mother scolding a child, okay? She was telling me, John, you have to stop this. And I said, Noni, what do I do? She's 19 years old. She's legal. She's 19 years old. And she says, John, she's 19 years old physically.
Yes.
She said, you need to understand what a person is. A person is four persons. Okay? She's 19 years old physically. Spiritually, she needs some work. Okay? Mentally, she said, mentally, your daughter's 19, but mentally she's 30. Okay? She's genius level like you.
She graduated summa cum laude.
She graduated college summa cum laude, double major. Okay? So my kid's a smart kid.
Just curious, okay? Yep. Because I had a struggle with college. I got through, but what was her double major?
She had a business major, and I think the other one was economics.
Okay,
anyway,
well, that would make sense. The two go hand in glove. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, she said, okay, physically she's 19, mentally she's 30, spiritually she still needs some work, but emotionally she's that 10-year-old child that was traumatized by these crimes. She said, and you need to understand the four persons, and you need to understand that if one of the four persons is not healthy, it's going to affect the other three. Now, this is a devout Christian woman telling me this.
This makes sense. I'll be honest with you.
When she first started telling me this, I was thinking, okay, where are you going with this? So one day, I just happened to open up my Bible. I said, I'm going to open up my Bible and I'm going to read wherever the good Lord takes me. Okay? Have you ever done that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, all the time.
Only recently I've had the faith to do that.
Yep. So I opened it up, and what do you know? I land on Mark chapter 12, and it says, the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and thy whole mind and thy whole soul, and thy whole strength.
Now, how did you relate that to this problem?
That's the four persons. The physical, mental, emotional, spiritual persons.
Oh, okay,
is right there.
Okay.
Boy, that's really something, yeah.
Yeah, and it just so happened that's what my Bible, and I don't believe in coincidences, okay?
No, I don't either.
That's where my Bible opened up to. And that's where the four persons came to, because that's the problem that we have in the psychological and psychiatric profession today, is they want to pretend that every human being is a bunch of physical impulses and chemical processes, and that's it. There's nothing more to it than that. Okay?
I'm at Mark 12:30. I see what you're saying. Yep. You shall love the Lord with all your heart. That's one. Your soul, mind, and strength.
Yep. And notice it says whole heart, whole mind, whole soul, whole strength. You can't be half in on any of them. You got to be all in.
Right.
It says every one of them say all. Okay, I'm just following with you. Okay, I got you.
And
that's a commandment. That's not a suggestion.
Yeah. Somebody asked me, what was the turning point in my life and my relationship with God? What was the biggest turning point in my life and in my relationship with God? And I said, the mistake that I was making was that I was making God the most important thing in my life. And he said, what? He said, how is that a mistake, that you made God the most important thing in your life? I said, because God cannot be the most important thing in my life. God must be my whole life. He is my whole life.
I was wondering how you were going to talk that one down.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought
I'm
that too.
I thought you were painting yourself into a corner, but no, you're right.
He doesn't get the biggest part of my heart. He gets my whole heart. He doesn't get the biggest part of my soul. He gets my whole soul. And everything else flows from there. So, when
so John, did you now? I'm interrupting you intentionally. Did you now? Mm-hmm. But I'm from New York City, so I'm rude. Did you apply this then to this situation?
I did. I called the prosecutor.
That's what I want to hear.
I called the prosecutor and said, look, we're taking the deal. She's like, John, we've already talked about this. You can't do that. You don't have the authority to do that. I said, I just did.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I just did it. Debbie, make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
She said, John, I can't do it. I said, I'm not asking, Debbie. I'm not asking.
Right.
I'm telling. Okay, I'm taking charge of the situation. I am standing in the gap for my daughter.
Did you feel butterflies in your stomach at the time? At the time, John, did you feel butterflies?
In retrospect, I'm not sure. I knew what I had to do. Yeah, I knew what I had to do, and I did it. And it was, it was a horrible, horrific situation.
Right.
But let me ask
you. During the course of this, did you ever feel you made the wrong decision and second-guess yourself?
No.
Okay.
No,
I'd be curious of how it turned out.
No, not for a second.
Okay,
you know,
good.
And this scum has since been released from prison.
Yep.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, and that's the that's the sad thing about mandatory minimum sentences, because this was when we lived in New Jersey. And
where in Jersey?
We lived in Jackson for 6 years, and then we lived in Piscataway for 4 years.
Where is that?
Jackson's in the center part of the state, Six Flags Great Adventure.
Are you anywhere near Vineland?
I've got a really good friend that lives in Vineland. That's down in the southern part of the state.
I am from Staten Island, New York.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I used to, in the 60s, when I was going to school, my only diversion I had other than working school was auto racing, and I used to travel down there.
Okay.
So at Vineland to watch the midgets, they call them midget race cars.
Okay.
They're not midgets with that. Okay, I used to travel all over New Jersey to see. They were big back then.
We saw them race at Wall Stadium a couple of times.
Oh, I love on Route 34.
Yeah, Wall.
That's a high. In fact, in the 60s, the very year that Parnelli Jones won the 500, he came to Wall Stadium that year to run, and he won it.
Wow. That's something.
Where do you live now?
I live in Northern Virginia now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you... Raven and I haven't had one call that has not backfired on us, I don't think. We've had some that called by mistake, and they were polite. But this, I'm enjoying you listening to you. Now, how did this affect your future life when you made this decision that God is not going to be the most important, he's going to be all... And obviously, the Holy Spirit told you to make the decision you made.
Yep.
What was the outcome? Don't leave us hanging without that.
Well, the outcome is that I had to understand what was truly important in my life, and I had to understand that that's when the Holy Spirit basically...
How did you do that, John? How did you do that?
God has a way. When you surrender to God... God has a way of moving the pieces with or without your consent.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah,
we know what
you're talking about.
Yeah, and you're going to go through. Look, I just lost my best friend of 45 years just a few weeks ago, I was fortunate enough to be asked to give a eulogy at his funeral, and God bless him. I've known a lot of Christians in my life, and I've known a lot of Christians in name only in my life.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me the definition of a true Christian, how I would define a true Christian. Here's my definition of a true Christian, or how you can tell a true Christian from a false Christian. If I were an atheist, or I were somebody that didn't know anything about Christianity, just talking to the two of you, I would say, I don't know what they have, but I want it. I want
John,
what they have.
John,
where did they get it?
In 1983, I was not a believer. My wife was and is. And that's exactly what I felt. I said, I used to look at her. I went to church every day, but was not a believer. She didn't go, but she had something I didn't have. Oh, you're on my frequency. Keep going.
But on the other hand, I've known other Christians, and I've told them this. I knew one in particular. I said, look, okay, if I were an atheist and I looked at you and I thought you were a Christian, I would say, I don't know what Christianity is. But if that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it.
I don't. Amen.
Okay.
Right.
And, John, that's becoming more and more popular today as far as the numbers. The proportion of people that are fitting that mode, and I agree with it. If I look at the way the Christian churches talk about other churches, so far I agree with you, and I'm not saying that to be polite.
You are scandalizing the body of Christ when you act like that. You're scandalizing it's absolutely incredible the division that we have in this country, okay? And I sometimes wonder if some of these Christians have even opened up a Bible. I wonder if they've even opened up a Bible because, listen, folks, God, please. All the trouble that we have in the world, all the adversity that we have in the world, we have scary stuff going on. If you think that our problems are about black and white and young and old and Christian and Jew and Protestant and Catholic and married and unmarried, if you think that's where our problems are,
no,
you're not paying attention. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, thrones, and dominions in high places.
Yes, that's exactly
Raven,
right.
Raven, we've been on this thing now for 3 years and about 6 weeks, and this is the first person that's ever in sync with the way you and I feel.
Yeah,
well,
you're right.
I'm glad you called.
And you know what?
And I've never. Yeah,
Carl, the reason why is because I've lived it, because I've seen it. I've seen evil, okay? This person that we had to send to prison, I could tell you stories that would make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Okay,
Probably not, only because, you see, we have also lived it. That's why in different ways, but we've also lived this evil stuff, and this is why we are the same. We feel the same way you do.
How did this young lady make out? I want to hear that before we.
Yeah.
I mean, is she okay now?
Well, in some ways, yes. In some ways, no. You don't
have to divulge anything that's uncomfortable.
No. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide.
If we're getting into something you'd rather not talk about.
No. Sometimes I search for the right words. That's what it is. How do I put this together in a way so that what I convey makes sense? Okay. I have three kids now that are all in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
They are all married, homeowners, kids of their own, all three of them making six figures.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any of the three of them in almost 6 years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Are they still in the Jersey area?
No, they're all three okay. around here. They don't want to mm-hmm. see me by their choice. Okay, well, a lot of this goes back to the question you just asked me a few minutes ago about choices and about moving forward in the direction that you're moving forward in and the trauma and the effect and the way that I've reacted to a lot of these types of situations and the way that the family has reacted to a lot of these types of situations has caused mm-hmm. them to accept certain conclusions that I can't go along with. And because I don't agree, they don't want to recognize that there is a spiritual element in some of the things that happened to my family. Okay.
Raven, does this sound familiar?
Oh, it sure does.
Raven,
sure does. Can I tell you something, John?
Yes, absolutely.
Because we're off. This program is over in 9 minutes, so I'd like to share something with you here.
Mm-hmm. Raven. Hold on, John,
yeah.
I'd love for you to call back next week again, because this is the kind of thing that we have to get through to Christianity today, to true believers, not the nonsense that you hear about prosperity and all. This is where people
right.
live, and we're going to work. I love what you're saying, because Raven
right.
is going
let me
to
give
do
you,
the same thing.
Let me
with
give
you
a real teaser. Let me just give you a quick teaser
yeah.
before Raven says what she has to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the quick
teaser.
Well,
it's basically the same thing you went through. Go ahead.
Yep. Quick teaser is I've seen one person go up the stairs, okay,
mm-hmm.
and the same person not come back down 2 minutes later, okay? It looks like the
mm-hmm.
same person, sounds like the same person, but it ain't the
right.
same person, okay? I'm just telling you, and that's what we'll talk about next week.
All right.
Demonic
well, let me share
activity.
Something with you, John. I want to give you,
John,
I'm
please,
sure that you already
hold
have.
Hold on, Raven.
Yeah.
Please, John, call next week. If anything were to happen,
yeah.
John, where I have an emergency, I can't do it, by 3 o'clock Eastern time, I will delete the program. So if we're on at 3 o'clock, I want you to call, because this is what people need to know. They don't need
yeah.
to know these gossipsermon.com sermons or anything. Go ahead.
Right. So I was in, let me just say I have a real traumatic past as well, okay? And so, but my kids, I had all three kids who were also not speaking to me, all three. And about 6 years ago, approximately, is when two of them stopped speaking to me. And then in 2020, the beginning of 2020, the third one did. Well, interestingly, what I did was I gave them, literally gave them all to God at that point. And I said, Lord.
And that's exactly,
said, you know what?
Raven, what he just said. That's what he said he did. He gave this all to God. Yeah. It's
yeah.
hard. It's hard.
And
it's hard.
Yep. And I said, Lord, he told me. He said, they're not even your kids. And that's where I had to realize, these are not my children. They are his kids. He loaned them to me temporarily. But they don't
okay.
really belong to me.
Okay.
They're not my children. So
right.
I said,
I'm going to tell you this, and I know we're going to end up
yeah,
going
go
into
ahead,
the archives.
I want you to call,
yeah.
back next week, Johnny.
All
okay,
right. I know that we're going to end up going to the archive by me telling you this. But I'm going to
okay.
tell you a true story. This is absolute. God is my witness. This is a true story.
Go ahead. I believe it. John,
okay.
I believe you.
When things were getting really, really bad between me and my wife, okay,
uh-huh.
and I'm talking about we're getting to the point where the arguments are creating heat and not light.
Right.
When I knew that our marriage was in trouble, okay,
mm-hmm.
was
right.
Well, there was one episode when I had an infected kidney stone and I was in a ball on the floor just grimacing in pain and convulsing in pain
mm-hmm.
and she just walked out on me. I mean, that's you know,
right.
where things
okay.
Are. Okay. All right. So I walked out on her one time in one of these arguments. When I say walked out on her, it was, okay, I got to get away from you. I got to get away from
mm-hmm.
you and cool down, calm down. I'll come back later. when I've got my head together.
Right.
So I called a friend of mine who was in New Hampshire, and I said, I got to talk to somebody. Okay.
Where in New Hampshire?
I think Manchester, I think.
Yep. Manchester is the airport I used to fly. Go ahead. I know right where you mean. Okay.
Okay. So this is really going to creep you out, what I'm going to tell you here, because this is creepy stuff.
I doubt it.
Trust me. It's going to. Okay. So I called her and I said, Susan, I need to talk to you. I said, I just walked out on Cam. I just got into an argument with her and I just walked out. And she says, I know. And I said, what do you mean you know? I said, would she post something on Facebook? And she says, no. And I said, oh, well, she must have called you and told you. And she says, no. Well, Susan, how do you know that I walked out on her? She says, I had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
I reacted to her just like I just reacted to you. Silence. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What did you just say to me? She said, I had a vision. Now, this is not a flighty person at all. She's a very down-to-earth Christian woman, okay? She said, I had a vision that you and your wife were fighting. She was crying, and she didn't want you to see that she was crying. You walked out, and demons moved into the opening created by you walking out. I almost stopped the phone.
Remember what we were talking about, Carl?
Okay.
Yeah.
This story
John
gets creepier.
John Raven and I have been talking about this for the last 3 days.
This story is...
Yeah.
I'm just starting with this story. It gets creepier. Okay? So,
you know,
I'm going to stop.
Out just a minute, sir. I'm 3 minutes away from the end. Would you mind calling back next weekend and starting so we don't have to punctuate it?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I got to get off in 3 minutes, so I don't want to interrupt your story.
Fair enough. We'll start with that point in 1 week.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll remember it. Raven, while John's on, say a final prayer. Thanking the whole, we prayed for the Holy Spirit to guide this program every week, and I will thank him for doing it because this is the only good call we've had in 3 years and 6 weeks.
Heavenly Father, we are so blessed by John's call today. Right now, I want to pray for his children, Lord. I want to just lift them up to you, knowing that you are
Amen.
In control
Amen.
Of all these children. Lord, I know that it is your intent to bring this whole family to you. And I know that you
Amen.
Are working on it right now. I know that you're working on these children. And Father, I also just ask that you take them under your wing, that you pull them to you, that you convict them of their need for you and of their need for their father and their mother, or whatever that situation, Lord, is. I ask you to heal it. In the name of Christ. And I know, Lord, that you will work on this. And I ask that if John has any reservations about it at all, if there's anything that he hasn't given up, that you show him what that is and that he will release
Amen.
That to you as well. I ask, Lord, that you will bring everyone back that is listening and that they will hear the end of this as well, because, Lord, we know that all the glory goes to you, Lord, in all of this situation, and we will just give you all the praise. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Please, John,
Hallelujah.
Call next week, please.
Oh, I,
okay.
Trust me.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
There's not any chance that I'm going to forget this. You can trust
all
me.
All right.
Well,
Wonderful.
No, I mean,
Wonderful.
If something happens, okay, but I want to continue. I don't want to let this fly into the atmosphere.
Well, all I'm just going to tell you is that the second part of the story is even scarier than the first part. That's all I'm going to tell you.
John, this is reality, though. This is this is demonic activity in believers. We've got to realize we're not in a game here where we're going to be millionaires and happy people.
And
we're
now,
in a spiritual war.
And now people understand why I formed the four persons, because you cannot pretend anymore that good and evil do not exist. You can't pretend it anymore.
John, I just got the connection to the four persons. So you're – okay, I understand. I'm 80. I'm slow mentally. But, no, I got you. thank you for calling, and I don't mean that to be polite. I'm serious.
God
we
bless.
Need
right.
to hear, because we're in this battle, all of us. Okay, folks, thanks for listening, and we will be back next week, all three of us. Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
God bless you.
Thank
bye-bye,
you.
John.